Mad Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We are going to have a lot of football on today's show. Heath Evans is going to join us from the NFL Network. Wanted to have a running back on to talk about what we're going to see Sunday night involving the Cardinals at Seattle. When you have Marshawn Lynch, Chris Johnson, and the plethora of running backs on both sides, and Heath Evans does a good job with the NFL Network, he is going to be with us. Also, the NFC West through the first half of the season. That comes up at 10:30. Jake Plummer is going to jump on board for our weekly Skype segment with Jake. Jake joins us every week. That is coming up too. We may have some extra stuff on the TV end if you guys want to stick around after the show. We're trying to decide here if we're going to have a guest in studio. The number one quarterback prospect in the state of Arizona for next year, junior next year, who nationally is getting a lot of run, Ryan Kelly, committed this morning to Oregon, actually was out there. It's right by my house over at Basha High. And so I said, why don't you come in studio? Because it's not often you get a top quarterback in the nation here in our own backyard. I think Kyle Allen was probably, Eric. Was Kyle Allen the last? Am I missing somebody? That'd be the last national. Because Kyle was like number one.
Yeah, right? Kyle was the number one overall recruit, what, 2 years ago now?
2 years ago, yeah.
Wow.
Now, I know Bryce Perkins was very good, but I don't think Bryce was at that spot. And then Brady White was one of the top 10, but he wasn't here in Phoenix or in Arizona.
Right, even. California kid.
I mean, we talk about kids across the state. You know, like Rhett Rodriguez, Rich Rod's kid, is only a junior, and he's going to get some attention next year. He's a good high school quarterback. The competition he plays against needs a little bit of work, in my humble opinion. And he'll be up here this week. But So I've asked him to come in studio, and we'll see if that happens while we're still streaming or if the show's over. We'll put up some extra content. We'll use it on the television show tonight. Tonight's TV show, we'll have Warren Moon, Jake Plummer, Ryan Kelly, and Eric's got a good piece that he did out at Desert Vista High School on there. Their kicker's going to LSU out there.
Yep. Three quarterbacks and a kicker. That's going to be the angle.
And I'm going to talk a little bit about Rich Rod and his future on tonight's show. Because, Eric, I'm hearing now that what's going on with Rich Rod just needs to, and he won't, he's in a tough spot because his name's already out there at Virginia Tech. I've mentioned Georgia over and over and over, and I think when the Georgia job comes open, his name's going to be attached to that because he has all sorts of angles and types and pipelines, I should say, even to people in the administration at the University of Georgia. So, but it's impacting them in recruiting. And there's kids now that are saying, but I don't think you're going to be here. So while they've had a disappointing season, and I don't fault coaching at U of A. I don't. You take away all the linebackers that they've lost. You take away Anu at points and time of the season. You take the fact they don't have a bye week. They're just beat. They've had everything go against them while everything last year went for them. So I'm going to talk about that on the TV show tonight a little bit. All right, here in the state today, so the Suns play the Clippers tonight. I'm going to lead with that. I'll get into it because we're doing plenty on the Cardinals. It's almost like we're doing too much, just over and over and over, but I get it. The Suns play the Clippers tonight, and the Suns have been off since Sunday. I know most of you haven't been paying attention to them, so I will just fill you in. They're 3-4. They've beaten teams that have not had their best players. They beat Sacramento without DeMarcus Cousins, and he's a load, and there's just some stuff around him that the Suns were linked to DeMarcus Cousins last summer, and like, just what we need, another kid that's not happy. So that's tonight. You would think that we would see improvement. The Clippers played last night in Dallas, so it's a back-to-back. I don't know, the DeAndre Jordan story. So the Clippers played Dallas, and of course, DeAndre Jordan jilted the Mavs. So the Mav fans chanted something I can't say on the air throughout the end of the game towards him. Fans just went overboard last night. It's fine.
But did you see any of the late game? The Spurs-Blazers with LaMarcus Aldridge going back to Portland? I didn't either, but that's cute that ESPN did that. They did the Clippers game in Dallas with all the Jordan side story, and then, of course, LaMarcus Aldridge going back to the Portland area.
I missed it, too. I wouldn't think Portland fans, because that didn't go down. I would think that's one of those where
they kind of knew he was gone. Yeah, he made a pre-evident.
He's going to win a title.
Leaving, so.
Come on, he's going to San Antonio. That's where you go to win titles. Golden State won again last night. They're 9-0. And I saw where Cam Newton was upset that the Panthers aren't being given enough respect because of people talking about an undefeated season and all that stuff. So I put on Twitter last night, Golden State is better than the 72 Dolphins because, well, the 72 Dolphins go undefeated in the NFL and all the Dolphin players cheer every year when a team loses. So maybe it's the Warriors' turn to go through it. The Coyotes play tonight, and the Coyotes are coming off a really good couple of games. So I'm interested in that, and I actually will watch some of that against Edmonton. I haven't made my mind up yet on Buffalo at the Jets. It's all about a coach, and I like Todd Bowles a lot. So I'm looking at Todd Bowles, and I want to see the progress they made there. The Bills, it's just their coach is such a blowhard, and fans get so excited. It's like when Buddy came here. Oh my gosh, can you believe what he said? And that's what we want to hear out of our coach, and they just get their heads kicked in. And, you know, Rex is the same sort of way. It's just that stuff may play in a small market like Buffalo. I would never want that. Like Bruce Arians is such a good fit here in Arizona for so many reasons. I'm sure Mr. B just loves having a guy like Bruce Arians around and Tom Moore and these guys that have been around the NFL for a long, long time. And the facts are they're doing a good job here. They're doing a great job here, actually. You bring Rex Ryan and all that is God, we need attention. And that plays in a small town like Buffalo. And if you're a Bills fan, you may think I'm full of it. I've had some Bills fans get on my case about it on Twitter. You just don't need, you don't need a head coach to wear a helmet to a press conference to attract attention. You need a coach that's going to win and win big and rather than being a blowhard. So that caught my eye too. I know that there's a lot on the high school front here in Arizona about Marvin Bagley leaving Hillcrest Prep, the number one player, the best high school basketball player I've ever seen in Arizona. I don't like throwing labels around like that. There's no question he's going to play one day in the NBA, but man, what a bunch of luggage just being toted around. Like every day there's something new on that front. So I'm going to get into that too before the show wraps up. On the other side, though, we're going to shift back over to the Cardinals, a little bit more on Seattle. We'll do some college football too. Keith Evans in about 10 minutes. I want to talk to him about the running backs, NFL Network analysts, catch him throughout the week. NFL Network's NFL Total Access. He does that every Sunday on NFL Game Day. He does a good job. And then Jake Plummer, too. I'm Brad Sussmann.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Talk some NFL in a couple of minutes. NFL Network analyst Heath Evans, 9-year NFL fullback. I want to talk to him about the running backs in Sunday night's game between the Cardinals and Seattle. And Jake Plummer will join us via Skype as he does every week. And Ryan Kelly, the quarterback at Basho, committed this morning to the Oregon Ducks, is coming by the studio. It may end up just being on the TV show. We'll see if we can squeeze him in time. But he's on his way to the studios right now. Before I get over the Cardinals, I want to talk about ASU for a minute. I saw where Doug Howler, who does a very good job with AZ Central Sports, and of course we have a partnership with AZ Central Sports, so I pay attention to what they do for the most part. And he got Ray Anderson on the record talking about this season. And he believes Todd Graham's program is on solid ground. Quote, I do, Anderson told AZ Central Sports. And I think, very frankly, some of the strides that we're starting to see is in recruiting are an indication of that. Now, I would say tap the brakes on that myself, because just because a kid gives a verbal commitment here in November doesn't mean anything until they sign the dotted line in February. They can say, oh yeah, 100% done. No, it's never 100% done when it comes to recruiting. So while you may have landed two of the best players in the state today, in N'Keal Harry and Chase Lucas, that's not a given. So until they sign the dotted line, that's what I'm going to look at this and say, huh, okay, so they did land all these kids. Good for them. Nice job. And those of you that want to get all excited here in November about it, that's not how recruiting works. So they have a verbal. They have two of the best kids. So today they didn't get the number one quarterback prospect in the state for next year. That happens. I think we saw earlier this week when ASU offered. Have you seen the kid at Pinnacle, Eric? I know Jared's seen him quite a bit.
Spencer Rattler?
Yeah.
I have.
So he's just a freshman, and ASU offered him.
And UCLA.
And UCLA. But if you look at the quarterback logjam there, and if you're Ryan Kelly, you're going to come here with Bryce Perkins, Manny Wilkins, and Brady White. I don't see where it's going to work out for you very well.
One of those three quarterbacks will stay quarterbacks at ASU. I'm guessing two of the three change positions, and if you think about it, I would guess...
Or transfer.
Yeah. I would think...
I'd say more transfer than change positions.
I would think Brady White would be the guy, but that's... I don't know anything. That's just me guessing.
Because you're just trying to hold back.
Because he has to play quarterback. Manny Wilkins and Bryce Perkins can play other positions.
Okay.
If needed.
So in reading more of these quotes from Ray Anderson, because let's be clear here. Ray Anderson did not hire Todd Graham. So when you're looking at the full picture of this program and where things are, I think they're doing fine. But you just never know. Yes, I think we're heading in the right direction, but there's no perfect world. We have to improve going forward if we want to reach the elite status that we strive to. That's championship status. We're not satisfied, but we're making strides, recruiting being the most obvious one. So once again, if any of these kids decide to decommit, imagine this. Imagine you're putting everything into a 17 or 18-year-old over the next 2 to 3 months, not changing their minds. And if you don't think it happens, just go look at Josh Dobbs, a quarterback at Tennessee. I brought him up yesterday. I'll keep bringing that up as example number one because it happens. The Sun Devils entered Graham's fourth season with a Pac-12 championship aspiration. Graham told fans and media this was his best ASU team, and ESPN analyst Kirk Herbstreit picked the Sun Devils to make the season's college football playoff. I'm reading again from Doug Howler today. Hasn't worked out that way. No, it hasn't worked out that way. It's been a tremendous, one of the most disappointing teams in the nation is right here in Phoenix. No other way to put it. The Sun Devils at 4-6 have lacked playmakers. No question about that. Totally agree. When you look at the receivers that have left Arizona, doesn't matter if it's Christian Kirk or Mark Andrews or Devin Allen, it's a lot of talent that has gotten out of the state in the last few years. And enter Saturday's homecoming contest against Washington, needing two wins over their last three just to qualify for bowl eligibility, something we've been bringing up. I still think it's very much in doubt. The part about this that I look at, and you know, this is where I come down on this. Doug referred to this. Fans and some media have suggested ASU should not waste its time trying to make a lower tier bowl and should start focusing on next season's playing younger players. And let me be very clear here. I've never said, I've never written that Mike Bercovici should be sent to the bench. So don't throw me in on all this. What I have said is it only makes perfect sense to start getting some reps and not the usual, oh, all those practices we get in the bowl season, how valuable they are. I've heard that nonsense forever. Start taking a quarterback and putting him in real live fire against Washington, against the U of A, and against Cal. Now, they're going to play this out because the other side is, which quarterback gives you the best chance to beat the U of A, something that Graham needs to do this year. Otherwise, fans are going to say it's 2 years in a row that Todd hasn't beaten the U of A, and there's still some people that gauge success solely off that, even though they're delusional. So, you know, as this progresses in hearing from Ray today, I would say check back with me on letter of intent day and let's make sure, and even to the point of, are these kids through the clearinghouse? Are these kids eligible to play? Because it sounds all well and good and reads well on November 12th. But if you're basing it first and foremost, as Ray did, on recruiting, I got to tap the brakes on that. Heath Evans is next. NFL Network analyst, 9-year NFL fullback, Super Bowl champion, weighs in on the heavyweight matchup between the Cardinals and Seahawks. I want to talk to him about the running backs in particular. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, welcome back. Appreciate you jumping on board with us. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, and I appreciate the partnership with AZ Central quite a bit. They've been terrific, and also our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona will be at 6 o'clock, right after the Coyotes game, I believe at 10:30, 1 a.m., and again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., Brad Sussmat's Football AZ, things that we see on the pro front with the Cardinals in Seattle, on the college front with Arizona State, Arizona, even U of A, ACU, and of course on the high school front, that is on the platform as well. Earlier today, the top quarterback prospect in the state of Arizona committed to the University of Oregon, Ryan Kelly. He's going to join us in studio for the television show coming up. That'll be tonight at 6 p.m., 10:30, and 1 a.m. I know you recruiting nuts are going crazy about that. It's a terrific time in the state of Arizona on the recruiting front. It's also a great time on the football front with Sunday night's matchup. I know everybody's frothing at the mouth after the bye week for the Cardinals to go to Seattle, a place that they have not fared well. Carson has not seen the field against Seattle in the last year and a half. But I'm more interested in hearing about the running backs here because the Cardinals have been the absolute worst running team in the NFL up until this season, and finding Chris Johnson in a diamond in the rough in early August. And then on the Seattle side, and of course, the rest of the running back crew as well, but Chris Johnson, who would have thought? And then over on the Seattle side, we've had Brock Huard on, we've had Warren Moon on talking about the Seahawks and how Marshawn Lynch has not really hit his stride yet. And I wanted to reach out on a national level and find a good name, a big name, and Heath Evans joins us from the NFL Network. Catch him throughout the week on NFL Network's NFL Total Access every Sunday on NFL Game Day, and nine-year NFL fullback, Super Bowl champion for a couple of minutes. Heath, it's Brad Sussmat. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, buddy?
Doing well. Doing well. Getting ready for what we have been waiting for here in Arizona for quite some time, and that is to see if this Cardinals team is for real, given that their winning percentage has not been very good against the teams they played, 14-36, the record. But so far, it's 6-2. You have to feel good about it at the bye. Seattle's trying to find their way. Just a big picture view before we dive into running backs, Heath. What do you make out of Sunday night's matchup?
Well, it's funny. You know, I remember, I think 2 years removed, you know, the Cardinals going before the 12s in Seattle and the Link and throwing four interceptions and still winning the game. I mean, Bruce Arians has, you know, managed to, I guess, put his personality fingerprint on this team. And I think they're tough. I think they're hard-nosed. I think they're smart. I think they're intelligent. I think they respond well to pressure most of the time. And, this Seattle team isn't the Seattle team of old, and nobody really wants to hear it. And, you know, obviously they've been beat in a certain type of way this year. We'll see if the Cardinals can manage to do that there in Central League Field.
What is the difference to you when you see Seattle? I had Warren Moon on yesterday. He said it's just they're rounding into form. They're figuring Jimmy Graham out. Their red zone offense has not been good. Change in offensive linemen. It's just been a progression through the season. Do you see it the same way, or are there bigger problems there?
Well, their O-line has never been a great pass-blocking offensive line, but they've always been able to stabilize the force because they've been so run-dominant. Well, we've seen them put up good run numbers at times, but it hasn't been consistent. We've seen a lot of games where Marshawn can't get going. And I think when you look at the sack numbers that this team has given up, and I know Arizona hasn't been great at necessarily getting quarterbacks on their back, but you know, I would say they also haven't faced an opportunity like they're going to face this week against an offensive line like Seattle. So the balance in Seattle the last couple of years has been so perfect. They've had the best defense in football. You couldn't run. You couldn't pass. They've had dominant special teams. And then they've had this offensive line and this offense and this quarterback and this running back that can, you know, grind out yards on the field or run the run game. Russell can beat you with his Houdini legs at times, and then they can throw for 180, 190 yards to beat you in a very team complementary form and fashion. Well, when you remove one of those elements, all those close wins become close losses. Mm-hmm. And that's what Seattle's really faced this year.
Okay, so then let's go a little further then on the running backs. You mentioned Marshawn. I want to start over here on this side with Chris Johnson. The fact that they're able to run the football, it's directly correlated to they have an offensive line here. Yapati is now healthy. It seems to me Jonathan Cooper's playing as well as the number one pick was expected out of him. But did you see this out of Chris Johnson coming off of where he was last year? Are you surprised by his production?
I mean, not really, just because everyone always loves to put this number on running backs when they have a certain amount of touches or when they hit the age of 30 or, you know, all these different things. I mean, people have been trying to wipe away Frank Gore for years, and yet he's still averaging over 4.5 yards a carry with the Colts. They just don't give him the ball enough. I look at guys like CJ, and he doesn't forget how to run the football. He doesn't forget how to make guys miss. Sure, guys age over time, but people also, you know, ultimately, I think, wash guys away a little too soon. And Bruce Arians has always wanted to be this kind of power run team that takes shots down the field. I mean, you can trace his, you know, football lineage back as far as you want, and that's what he wants to be. And I think it's the right way to win football games. And so the time and opportunity for CJ came about, and he's made the most of it. So I guess, would I think his rushing numbers would be this high? Probably not. But did I think they'd get great production out of him? Yeah, I mean, when the signing was made, we talked about it, TA, on Total Access that day, and you know, I was one of the few guys that was like, this guy hasn't forgotten, you know, how to carry the ball. It's time and opportunity, and he's gotten both.
What's interesting, Heath, about this is Ellington is going to be a fresh back in the second half of the season. He just hasn't had very many carries, and last year there was the concern about durability with him, and I think he's coming into his own. And David Johnson, if he can hang on to the football, gives them an extra dimension. The whole stable of backs with the Cardinals, what do you make out of that?
Well, what you like in Ellington. I mean, when you look at, like, so this week with Seattle, you know, and you've got a middle linebacker like Bobby, you know, there in Seattle, you love matchups, and they feel so comfortable in this Seattle defense putting their linebackers on elite weapon tight ends and elite weapon receiver running backs. And that's what you have in Ellington. So if you're looking at a player like Andre, you're looking throughout the course of games as where do you get matchups that can favor you, that you can win games? And you know, down the stretch, you look at the Seahawks game coming up. The Bengals is another great defense that you're always looking for. Hey, we know across the board this defense is dominant, but where's the weak link? And Andre's the type of player that exposes those type things. And then the Rams coming up later in the season, it's a pressure defense, the one that's going to kind of live and die by the blitz and pressure of your quarterback. And, you know, Andre's one of those players that can erase a bad blitz real quick. So I can't remember some of the other teams coming up down the stretch, but Andre's that type of guy that makes teams hurt when they make defensive errors or they think their athletes on defense are better than what they are.
No, you're hitting your marks all over the place. Great stuff there coming from Heath Evans. You can catch him throughout the week on NFL's Total Access, 5 p.m. Arizona time, and every Sunday on NFL Game Day starting at 11 a.m. Flip it around and go over on Seattle side. So much is made out of Lynch, but who saw Rawls coming out of the blue? And is Lynch slowing down at all, in your opinion, or is it the same beast mode?
It's the same beast mode. I mean, there's just penetration all over that offensive line. And that's, I mean, you get Marshawn going. And their game, you know, people always want to talk about kind of their power run game. Well, it is a power run game, but it's been done much different. It hasn't really been. You can go back to their days, even when Mike Robinson, you know, was there and they had this elite athlete fullback. You know, they still tried to spread you thin and run the ball a bit differently than some of your other power run games around the league. So I think you know, Darrell Bevell's still just trying to find out what his offensive line, along with Tom Cable, their offensive line coach, is capable of. But Marshawn, it's touches. I go back to the CJ2K, you know, the opportunities. You know, mm-hmm. These guys, they just don't overnight forget how to run the football. There's so many changes that happen in our game that it'll look like a player fell off. I mean, I go back to the great Seattle running back, Sean Alexander. You know, 05, he's MVP. You know, 06, he pops a bone in his foot. You know, still averages over 4.5 yards a carry in the games he played. And then 07, I think 07, pops a bone in his wrist. Still had over 4 yards of carry, and people like, oh, he's washed up, he got paid and didn't want to run the ball hard anymore. No, he broke a bone in his foot and broke a bone in his wrist, and everybody wanted to wash him away. Well, the truth is he was still averaging over 4 yards of carry when he was out there. It's just he didn't have the opportunities. And so people make rash judgments that truly don't understand our game and that probably don't I guess maybe have the credibility to be commenting on it. So you give Marshawn 20-plus touches, even with this bad O-line, he's still going to hurt you. They've just got to figure out what run schemes they can run and what can't they run with this offensive line.
Are you a believer in where the Cardinals are right now, Heath? I'm kind of on the fence because I want to see them against good teams. The two teams that beat them at Pittsburgh and St. Louis here. But you take a look, they caught the Bears early. They caught the Saints early before they started getting things figured out. I know winning the NFL is tough, but you go to Detroit, that game was not even competitive. And the Cleveland game was filled with mistakes. Bruce challenged his team and said, are you guys pretenders or contenders at halftime? And I'm kind of on his side of the street that these next 2 weeks are going to tell me an awful lot going to Seattle and having Cincinnati here. Where are you at with the Cardinals?
Well, I think, you know, the scary thing is defensively, I mean, this is going to be, you know, I mean, you could argue that it's going to be their first real test. And I'm still, listen, the Seahawks defense has struggled in ways that it hasn't. You know, in the last couple of weeks, people think, oh, they put this stuff behind them. Well, you know, they got hurt with the elite tight ends. They got hurt even, you know, running the ball on them at times. And some of that was injury-based with the guys that weren't out there, and obviously missing Cam the first couple of weeks. He's irreplaceable. But what I love about Bruce is, you know, he's loving and encouraging, but he's more the disciplinarian. He's more in your face. He's more telling you what you did wrong instead of what you did right. And I think it keeps guys on edge. And we don't really know what this team is quite yet. And I think this Seahawks game there on the road will tell us a lot about this Arizona team.
Good stuff, Heath. I appreciate the visit. Look forward to doing it again sometime. Thank you.
Hey, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Heath Evans with us there, NFL Network analyst. Catch him throughout the week on NFL's Total Access, 5 p.m. Arizona time, and every Sunday on NFL Game Day starting at 11 a.m. That was a good get, Eric.
Very good.
That was a good get. Nicely done.
Different perspective.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right. Jake's going to join us next via Skype, right? Does he have a place today, or is he... Sometimes Jake Skypes from, like, his bathroom.
Let's see. He might be in the basement. Who knows? There might be, like, a gold balloon with a pitchfork on it. Who knows?
He wore a hat a few weeks ago.
Yeah, he wore a funky hat.
The IFCA hat or whatever it was. Or doesn't he have, like, a patio that overlooks all Boulder? So Jake Plummer is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right. Jake Plummer joins us now for a couple of minutes via Skype from his home in Boulder, Colorado. And I want to get Snake over on the NFL side first. Cardinals are at Seattle on Sunday night. They're expecting it to be a rainy game for Carson Palmer and Russell Wilson. These two teams are coming off of a bye week. The Cardinals have beaten teams with a combined record of 16-36. So I'm still of the opinion, let's see what they're all about. They have Seattle this week, Cincinnati here undefeated next week. What do you make out of this game, big picture, first and foremost?
It's a huge game, big time. I think that going up there to Seattle, no team goes up there feeling that they can dominate that game. They got to just find a way to win. I watched the game a few weeks back, Carolina. That was very impressive by me to see Carolina earn that victory. Three drives in the last quarter there of over, I think, 80 yards each to put them in position there to win that. You know, that's the kind of stuff you got to do. You got to go above and beyond expectations, and guys have to step up. It's a hard place to play. Seattle seems to start slow and then peak always late in the season a little bit. And if it's wet, it's going to be a ground game, you know, and taking your shots when you can. So, you know, everybody will make a big deal about the wet if it's raining. You know, Arizona doesn't have to play in the rain very often, but it's still raining for both teams, and I'm sure they'll be prepared. But we're going to get to see really what Arizona's about, because I think, you know, I said it and took some flack for it. Until Seattle is dethroned and taken out of there as the champ in that division, and you know, being in the Super Bowl the last 2 years, they're still the team to beat. They're still the team that's the team that sits on top and is the team that has to get beaten in order for some new team to step up. So we'll see what the Cardinals have in this weekend for sure.
Well, do you want to play? Is that the deal? I mean, are you?
I'm just.
Is this your way to support ASU? Is this, you know, you're butting them up?
Yeah, you buckle it up, ASU. It's time to buckle it up. Forget about everything else. Put it on. Get down to business.
Do you have a jersey nearby you can go get? I can sit for a second if you need to go put the jersey on. I mean, you look like you're ready to play today.
I could go in my basement and grab my old bag. It's got everything in there, everything, pads.
How far away are your pads and your jersey? Can you do it
in
like
the basement? I got to crawl into the crawl space kind of there, stored away there. You know, right. Just sit.
Let's do that. Why don't we do that next week for the U of A game? Okay,
That'd be good. You know, I just putting this on because it makes me think of my days there. We had some struggles. We weren't perfect all the time, but what we did is we banded together as a team. You know, when time is when it's needed, when you need to band together and get it going, that's why I buckled it up. Time for them to buckle it up and shut everything out and forget about everyone outside of that building except their own team and get down to business.
Do you feel like removing the helmet and finishing the interview? Do you just want to do it the whole way like this? It's fine with me.
I kind of like it. It's kind of reminded me of that pain in the forehead there, that kind of dull ache from the helmet. And you know, it's kind of nice. I can take it off if you'd like.
No, I don't. It's fine. It's fine with me. I mean, it's whatever is comfortable for you. Heck, I mean, I want you to be comfortable doing this. You want to do the show in just a jock strap one day, it's fine with me. I'm good with
that. We won't go there, Brad. We won't do that.
No, I've known you a long time. I've known you a long time, man. I wouldn't put it past you. Okay,
I get Juan Roque too excited if I did that.
No, that's true. That's true. All right. So what can you put? Are you going to wear a referee shirt next week if they screw up another call? Like, what do we to make out of the Pac-12 and the officiate? I know you work for the Pac-12 network, but come on. At some point, guys, get it together. They got hosed again this weekend.
You know, when you're in that back room and they make calls like that, it's insane. The coaches back there and players and all of us were just like, I wasn't there last weekend, but I can only imagine, you know, the upheaval and guys, you know, just shaking their heads. It's really too bad because all ASU gets is an apology. Oh, yeah, sorry, we messed up the play. But they get the loss, you know. The apology does nothing. It was an obviously the guy was stopped. You know, I guess they're going straight by the rule book that a whistle was blown, but the whistle was blown to kill the play, not inadvertently. I don't know. Bad break for the Sun Devils. It was really unfortunate. Turn of events there. They'd stopped them. They were inspired. You know, it was a big swing, 7-point swing, and not the reason ultimately they lost the game, but definitely a big part of why. And you know, bad call by those officials.
How do you think this Pac-12 South is going to finish out? We're sitting here 3 weeks away, and I can't tell you that Utah is definitely going to whack U of A. You would say that they should. I can't tell you that USC is going to finish out and take the con. I can't tell you UCLA is going to finish out. I mean, the Pac-12 South, to me, I cannot figure it out. One week I look at Utah and say they're pretty darn good. Another week I say, you know what? They're very beatable. What about you?
Yeah, they're kind of a hot, cold team. I think, you know, big win for them last week, but they kind of roll on the shoulders of Travis Wilson when he plays well and takes care of the ball. They're a hard team to beat. That defense is still playing at a good level. I'd be really scared of USC. I think USC, through all the turmoil early, is finding their groove. They're figuring out, hey, we're more talented than anybody else. And they're going to be able to play against a Colorado team that, I hate to say it, but it's going to look like a college team versus a high school team. Mm. And it doesn't bode well for Colorado. They're going to scrap and fight and play as hard as they can. But we saw last week they just don't have the firepower. So USC is going to end up winning that one, I believe. You know, who knows how this is going to play out? UCLA is still a dangerous team. You know, I don't know. It's going to be fun to see what happens. And I just hope Stanford can continue winning. I think that's going to be an amazing game to watch, that Stanford-Oregon game. If Stanford can win that one, that'll help them tremendously move up, hopefully. And hopefully we're not on the outside looking in. But Stanford's still got to play some very dangerous teams.
Now, Stanford-Oregon, and then Stanford has Notre Dame. And to me, the winner of the Stanford-Notre Dame game, assuming they take care of business on the other sides, that team's got to be in. And it may well be Notre Dame comes here and plays in the Fiesta Bowl the way that things are going if they don't get in. But Stanford, to me, clearly, McCaffrey should be getting Heisman consideration, in my opinion. I know Fournette's going to run away or the running back at Alabama, but McCaffrey's as good as anybody out there.
He's a great football player. He does great things. I like the way he carries himself on the field. He really is all about the team. It's not about him. It's not me, me, me. He's going to celebrate with his team and wants more. He's hungry. And so he's definitely – I don't care if the Heisman voters vote him in there. If they don't, to me, he's probably the most valuable player across the country, what he does for that team. He's an amazing football player. You know, he's going to have to do some big things this week and continue to just play his game and, you know, hope that team, Stanford, still plays well. You know, they could win out and then lose in the championship game to USC or who knows, man. There's so much that could still shake out. But that Notre Dame game will be a huge game. If they happen to beat Notre Dame, that should, you know, launch them up into that top four, hopefully get them into the playoff picture.
All right, get out of here with your helmet back on. Go ahead and buckle it up. You know, I want to make sure that we leave on a good note with you because This is, yeah, look at you. You're just.
Buckle it up, Sun Devils. The Huskies aren't going to take you lightly.
There is Jake Plummer joining us from Boulder, Colorado. He's got his ASU game face on. Next week, I expect the 16 jersey. See if you can get one of those new Nikes or Adidas, whatever their shoe deal is now. I don't know. Whatever their contract is. See if you can get a new deal. And be all, I want you all dressed up next week in your game stuff. Is that fair?
Full game. Okay, I'll pull out some of the stuff. I have to wash it, but I'll see what I can do for you, Brad.
When was the last time it was washed, Jake?
I think that the last time I played in it was when it wasn't washed. It was washed before that game.
He left the sweat on. All right. I'll see you next week. Get out of here.
All right. Have a good one.
Jake Plummer with us from Boulder, Colorado. Of course, Jake via Skype. That's good stuff there. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat.